Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Lyle Simpson's captivating book, Fully Human, Fully Alive, helps individuals build their own bridges over the barriers that are preventing people from living a full life. The book provides paths around your barriers without destroying your current beliefs. They simply no longer control you. Those who read this book with an open mind can find their own path to become one of the 1% of people living today who live a fulfilled experience and are truly fully alive. Lyle was president of the American Humanist Association from 1980 to 1984, AHA legal counsel for 35 years, the founder and current chairman of the Humanist Foundation, a retired attorney at law specializing in business development and estate planning. From Des Moines, Iowa, received his BA in psychology and philosophy from Drake University, served 2 years as assistant to the dean of students at Drake, while he graduated with an LLB and JD from Drake University Law School. Fully Human, Fully Alive, 4th edition, was recently featured at the Frankfurt Book Fair, the world's largest book fair. And author Lyle Simpson joins us on This Week in America. Lyle, welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bratton. I appreciate the opportunity.
It is our pleasure. Please call me Rick, and I'm really looking forward to this conversation and helping us live life more fully. I love the title of the book, Fully Human, Fully Alive. Let's talk briefly in the beginning a little bit more about yourself. How did this interest begin for you? How did you discover this in your life?
That's an awfully good question. When I was president of the American Humanist Association, well, my successor was a guy named Isaac Asimov, who published 480 books.
Oh, yes.
Other people that I've gotten to know personally, like Carl Sagan, the astronomer, Bill Nye, the science guy.
Oh, yes.
Willinario Durant wrote The History of Civilization. Dr. Seuss, didn't get to know him, but Abraham Maslow was a humanist. He created humanistic psychology. I did not know that as an undergraduate, and unfortunately he died a little before I got involved in the national level 50 years ago. Once I found him, I became a member of the American Association of Humanistic Psychologists, and I've been studying this subject now for almost 60 years. And it's changed my whole life. It's given me a vision that I never would have thought of before. It's caused me to give a third of my time to society in any way where I felt I could make a difference. And it enriches your life to a point where you can hardly imagine. And any of us can do that, even if you're 99 and bedridden. There's ways you can continue the meaning of your life, particularly for grandchildren. And that gives you a form of immortality you otherwise wouldn't have. And to me, that's very important.
It's amazing what you do in the book and how you go about motivating us and letting us realize that we may feel fulfilled, but most of us don't reach that category where we actually are fully alive and fully filled. The book is Fully Human, Fully Alive by Lyle Simpson, our guest on the program. His website is lylesimpson.com. We'll have that on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. In the book, you provide questions. It's a very thorough book, and you sort of lead us in this process. Talk about the format of the book, because it really engages us as a reader to intellectually participate in your book and the concept of Fully Human, Fully Alive.
Well, the real problem is that 70% of all Americans today cannot get above the social level, which is Maslow's third level. Let me give you a little background about what these levels are about.
Yes, please.
Psychology started actually with Sigmund Freud, who took people that had abnormal behavior and through psychotherapy would bring them back into the mainstream of society so that they could have a successful life. But it started as a negative science. behaviorism comes along, and it had the theory that behavior only happens because you have need deprivation. And to the extent you have need deprivation, your behavior will seek the satisfaction of that need. B.F. Skinner was the leader of that field of thought. Maslow comes along and he's trying to figure out why two of his professors were such beautiful people. What's their need deprivation that causes that? And all of a sudden he realized, hey, maybe we've got this whole subject backwards. Maybe to the extent you don't have need deprivation, you're a normal, healthy person. To the extent you have need deprivation, you descend in your behavior clear to the people Freud was dealing with. So he started studying what are needs. And the interesting thing is that instead of it being linear ascending, he found that need drive strength can be categorized in six different, totally different levels. Basic level, if you're missing food, water, sex, shelter, warmth, or whatever, your behavior will move towards satisfying that. Yes. You got to go to the bathroom. Nothing else is important at that moment. But once those things are satisfied, you build your security level so you can satisfy those needs again in the future. Once you're satisfied that you're in control of your own life, you bring other people on the social level into your defense mechanisms and you share life with them. The problem we have in our society today is that 70% of the people in America are locked on that level and don't even realize it. Only 30% get above that, because once you're totally in control of your own life and you're satisfied with your relations with others, you could get to the level of called self-realization, ego level, where all of a sudden you expand who you are as an individual. 30% get there, but only 6% get to the level of actualization where all of their needs are totally satisfied and they become what we call a whole person. Your selfishness declines at the same rate. And so somewhere on the actualized level, selfish needs disappear.
Interesting.
And 1% of society actually get to the point then where they start dedicating their life for the benefit of others, to help others have a better life without any expectation of getting recognition from themselves, because they don't need it anymore. Those people are really fully alive. And I can tell you that once you get there and you see the result of that, life has a totally different meaning for you. And when you die, you realize you got a form of immortality, and the fact the world's a better place because you've been here.
And 99% of us are not there. That's an alarming statistic, and we'll talk about that further in our discussion today. But the book has all of this laid out so well, and it will guide you through life to make life more fulfilling for you. Fully Human, Fully Alive, the fourth edition by our guest on the program, Lyle Simpson. His website is lylesimpson.com. Talk a little bit about the length of time. We get real impatient now. We want to see results in something sometimes within hours, if not days. How long did it take you to go through the hierarchy of needs to get to the point where you feel totally fulfilled with your life and are living it fullest, to its fullest?
When I first started practicing law, I did what all lawyers do. I loved the chess game in the courtroom, but all of a sudden I woke up one day and I felt guilty because I made someone else lose. Now, who in the heck's going to want to hire a lawyer who's going to feel guilty winning for you? So what am I going to do? I decided what I really want to do is help people be successful in whatever they want to do. There's a statistic out there from the Internal Revenue Service that says that 80% of all new businesses fail in the first 3 years. I had a client tell me one time, we're all born with 10 columns and 100 marbles. They just distribute different for different people. So if you got a column with a lot of marbles, you got to recognize some of your columns are missing a few. Well, the reason why you have a board of directors in a large organization is so that the weakness of the individual leader doesn't become the institutional weakness. But smaller companies can't afford an outside board of directors. So I decided I'm going to fill that role for them. So I started studying what causes failure. And I only lose maybe 16 or 17% because in filling that role, the rest of them have succeeded. And five of my clients today are world leaders in what they do.
Amazing.
So I think maybe I've added some value. But the point is, I'm doing those things that make the world a better place. And as a result, I can sleep nights and I don't have to lose sleep because I made someone else lose in the courtroom.
You know, I love the passion that you have. It's like these successes that your clients have had are your successes, and you share in what they've left for the world and the impression that they've made. The book is so powerful, Fully Human, Fully Alive, by our guest on the program, Lyle Simpson. I mentioned in the beginning barriers. You give us detours, how to build bridges to get over barriers. Do all of us have barriers, whether we know it or not? Are they there for us?
Oh my, yes. And of course, the problem you have with a barrier is it blocks out any other information. It acts like the spam blocker in your computer. So you don't see any alternatives. And so you got to recognize that when you do get a moment where you get defensive, you probably are seeing your own barrier at that moment. The book doesn't take away your beliefs, but what it does do is help you build bridges over those barriers that lets you get beyond them, so that they're not blocking you any longer. And it doesn't mean it's changing your beliefs. It just means you're able to see many other things you hadn't even thought about.
And that is a key point. It does not change your beliefs. It just helps you know that they're there and they no longer are controlling you. Talk about humanism. When some people hear that, they're thinking this is a religion. This is a different way of life. Talk about humanism and the impact it's made on your life. And it's not a religion, is it?
No, it's not a religion at all. It's a philosophy. It's how you look at life. There are humanists within all faith groups.
Yes.
And people put the religion on top of it. But I stumbled across this by accident. I picked up the smallest book I could find in the church library waiting for my daughter to get out of Sunday school. It turns out it was on the meaning of humanism by Curtis Rees. And I started looking at that and I thought, my God, what a way to think. And I borrowed the book for 15 years, I think. But anyway, I found in there that the American Humanist Association existed. It turns out Rees is the one who created it. And so I wrote to these people trying to find if there's anybody else in the world, or at least in our community, that thought like I did. And I decided I was going to become a humanist counselor to hold myself out, just to see if I could find somebody. And I went through all the exercise to become one and sent in my application. They sent back my acceptance, but it expired in 3 years. And I thought, good grief, my Drake degree doesn't expire. If I'm capable now, why is this, what's happening?
Yes.
So I wrote a nasty letter to the president of the organization. She calls me up and she says, I got your letter today. And before I answer your question, our general counsel just retired today. Would you consider being general counsel of the American Human Association? I thought about that. It says, well, at least that way I can meet people that think like this.
Yes.
So I accepted. And that was 50 years ago. And this
Amazing.
Is the last month now that I'm going to have a national office. But I've been working for that organization ever since because of the quality of the people I've gotten to know. And each of them's on the growing tip of thought of something. And they're all making a big difference. But that doesn't mean some of them are Jewish, some of them are Catholic, some of them are Presbyterians or whatever. The religion doesn't have anything to do with it. It's how they look at life.
Lyle Simpson, our guest on the program. His book is Fully Human, Fully Alive. His website is lylesimpson.com. He'll invite you and show the way to discover a life that's not just about existing. It's about truly thriving. It's all laid out in ways that we can understand. It's engaging. The book available wherever books are sold. I'll direct you to, of course, Amazon, booksacademy.org in their book section there. Who should read this? If somebody says, yeah, but my life, I seem to be okay. Chances are from the statistics you're quoting, it may be okay, but we can make it even better. We can take it a level or two or three up from okay. Who should read this?
Who should not read
it? Who should read it? Who would you help with this?
Well, frankly, I think everybody should read it. There are some people that I don't want to affect anybody's faith belief. And so I start out kind of hitting people in the nose by saying, okay, we don't really have any physical evidence that life after death exists because no one's ever come back to tell us. And if there isn't one, then what are you really going to do with the life that you know you do have? And I say that because if that scares somebody for some reason or other, they don't want to think beyond that. I don't really want them to read my book because I'm not here to disturb their life in any way. I'm here only to help people enhance their life. But anyway, the way that you then are willing to approach so that you can get beyond your barriers, you've got to have an open mind in order to be able to do that. And so the book will give you enough information to help you get there. Regardless of whatever your beliefs are, if you're working with someone else, they're more able to see your barriers than you can see them for yourself. And that even makes it a lot more fun. In fact, I've got a movie producer now that's looking at it from that perspective because it makes a very interesting movie. But
interesting.
Anyway, I could talk forever about it.
And it's in the book, and I asked that question, who should read? I guess 99% of us that are trying to get to that 1% level where we're fully satisfied with our life. So that's a lot of us that could actually benefit from reading the book. Let's talk about the actual process of putting this together. It's one thing to teach. It's one thing to talk to people. You're going now and you're documenting all of this. You're writing the book. What was this process like, and how fulfilling is it that people you will never meet are benefiting from your teaching and reading this book and turning their lives around? Let's start with the process. How long a process was this to write Fully Human, Fully Alive?
My grandson, when he was a freshman at Drake University, went on a 3-week study abroad program with 3 professors and 20 other students to a rural community in Uganda. This is an area where these people have never seen white people before, let alone Americans. And it turns out that one of the professor's father, he grew up in that community, and the students didn't realize that until they were sitting in his father's living room. My grandson hears about this man who took his wife the 3-day walk to the nearest medical clinic to deliver their baby, but he didn't have the equivalent of $5 to pay for the delivery kit, so they refused to deliver her. So he tried to deliver that baby on the side of the road all by himself, and the baby and mother both died. That was more than my grandson could handle. He said to these other students, I'm going to spend the rest of my life seeing these people get a medical clinic. So when he made that decision, 6 of the other students agreed to help him, which meant the 3 professors had to pitch in.
Yes.
One of those students' father is a guy that's one of the 1%, happens to be in my Rotary Club. And he decided that, because since he was in charge of international committee, that the Rotary Club would assist. So the students went back and they found a Rotary Club over in Uganda that had an architect in it who designed a building for the clinic, had a contractor who determined how much it would cost to build the first building. Came back, my grandson spent his second semester, his sophomore year, raising the money to build that building. Amazing. While the other students tried to decide what other things they could do. That building got built. One of my clients is the Great Ape Trust, and Des Moines is the only place on Earth where you could conduct an intelligent conversation in the English language with another species of life. So it brings people from all over the world to see this. A woman from Minneapolis was there. Turns out she was an attorney up there representing a nonprofit corporation that takes hospital equipment. When hospitals buy new equipment, they give the old equipment to this organization to put in third world countries, or doctors retire, they turn over their medical office so that they can get a tax deduction. And so she has sponsored many things like this around the world. And I told her about these students. And she said, you send them up there to tell the board what they're doing, and I can guarantee them that they'll give you the equipment that you're going to need for that clinic. So they did that. The students were told that if they raised $15,000 in the next couple of weeks, they would get a 40-foot trailer, $375,000 worth of equipment.
Wow.
To furnish that clinic. So during finals, he raised that money. The point is, he would never have done that if he wasn't looking at life from a humanist perspective. His mother is a humanist. I'm a humanist. This is what he's known all life. Because at that point in time, instead of looking at it, what's in this for me, he had no idea how he was going to solve that problem. He saw a problem, and he decided he was going to do whatever he could to solve it. So he brings the rest of us together, and now what happened. A couple years later, one of the teachers went back to that clinic. It had just been open for a year. A little baby was laying there that was 2 months old that had both pneumonia and malaria. Typically, that child simply would have died. The little child opened her eyes and looked at this teacher. She said, this made it all worthwhile.
Oh, yes.
Today, that little girl was 10 years old, and she's alive today because my grandson made that decision. Nobody in that community is going to know him or who did this. But he did that because he was looking at this from a humanistic perspective. And look at the difference it made.
What a powerful story, and how proud you must be of your grandson and family members doing that, taking something that could have scarred them and just walk away from it. He decided to turn it into something positive. The young girl you're talking about now has been touched, and even without recognition, all of these people, it's passed down, isn't it, from family to family, from generation to generation, and it makes the world a better place. Time has gone by so quickly. Hopefully we can do another conversation. So much to talk about. The book is Fully Human, Fully Alive, fourth edition by Lyle Simpson. Just briefly at the end here, what are some of your goals in writing this? What do you hope to accomplish with the book? How do you hope to touch people?
In other words, what's my purpose for writing it?
Yeah, pretty much, yes. Yeah.
Well, the problem is that most people don't even realize that their life is limited being on the social level and not being able to get above it. And so my goal is to help people get a different perspective, so all of a sudden they realize they too could make a real difference.
Yes.
And once you have that perspective, you see opportunities that you otherwise wouldn't think about, because they're all around you. And it might be simple little things. Our community kicked all the homeless people off of the city parks. Didn't get a place to go. So I put together a group to go build them a facility so that these people had a place where they could go.
Yes.
And the community wouldn't take it away from them. That'll give those people a life that they wouldn't have otherwise had. They'll never know who I was. That doesn't matter. The point is, these are people that are in a need, and there was nobody out there to help them. I built a 130-bed mental health hospital because we had psychiatrists that were using electroshock therapy to maintain the 300 patients that they had and doing a lot of harm. So I could bring enough new psychiatrists in to educate those old people that really were hurting people. But when you look at life from this perspective of fact that there's all kinds of opportunities for you to do things that really make a difference for others, you'll take advantage of those opportunities that you otherwise wouldn't think about doing just because you didn't know exactly how you were going to get there.
Well, your life is one of thriving. It's remarkable what you've done and touching so many lives. And you guide us through this. The question, okay, what do I need to do? Well, it's all in the book, Fully Human, Fully Alive, fourth edition by our guest on the program, Lyle Simpson. We realize we do have those barriers. We are stuck on a level, and we don't even realize we're stuck on that level. It's eye-opening. It's thought-provoking. The book's available wherever books are sold. Of course, Amazon, the usual places. I'll send you to booksacademy.org and their bookstore as well. And, of course, information on Lyle's website, which is lylesimpson.com. And my thanks to booksacademy.org for arranging our conversation today. Books Academy, learning life from every page, providing a platform where knowledge knows no bounds. Their website is booksacademy.org. And again, I thank them for arranging our conversation. Lyle, it's been a pleasure. So much more we could talk about. We just touched the surface of the program today. Thank you so much for being with us on the program. I appreciate it very much. Eye-opening. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
It is our pleasure. Lyle Simpson, our guest, the book Fully Human, Fully Alive. His website, lylesimpson.com. You'll find all that information, of course, on our website. You're listening to This Week in America, and we're back right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.